hair still wet? That's a good question, because I just washed it and it's not dry yet. Yeah, I like to let nature take its course. Why should I dry when evaporation does it? Yeah, I never dry off after the shower. I'm an air dry kind of guy, you know, because it's nature's way. And I succumb to nature's way whenever I can. Hello, everybody. That's a very innocuous and probably ridiculous introduction to the sixth seal, because now you're going to see it. Oh, boy, that hair is a mess, isn't it? Now you're going to see it. This is when God finally really parts the veil and he comes after humanity directly. This is very scary things. Now the heavens are going to be shaken, and you can't attribute it to a bad spell of weather. You can't attribute it to a natural cause such as war, famine, and plague. And this is a sequel to the fifth seal. Remember the fifth seal, the souls under the altar crying out for vengeance. And God has for so long not enacted any vengeance upon anyone who disses his name, disregards it, and kills his people. And so the fifth seal is important in that we see finally that God is going to answer all the disrespect he's gotten. And then why? Does God need this? Does God need to be loved and liked? This is for the benefit of those who are judging him. God has very broad shoulders. He can take it. And so this is not something that he needs to feel better about himself. This is eventually to be for, now as I'm thinking about this, I think it's also for the sake of the souls under the altar, which are figurative, obviously. I think it's also for the sake of anyone who has suffered injustice. As I said, and as I admitted myself, and I would like you to admit this too, if you're honest with yourself, there's something in you that wants to see evil people get what's coming to them. And this is the whole problem when we tell people that we believe in the salvation of all. Because they say, oh, you mean Hitler is going to be with me in heaven someday? And we too quickly say yes to that question, even though it's true. What we omit there is Hitler's judgment. What we omit is the weeping and gnashing of teeth and the indignation and fury and affliction that will come upon the heart of Adolf Hitler to reduce him and bring him to his Nebuchadnezzar experience, to his unveiling, personal unveiling of Jesus Christ within himself, and to bring him to a knowledge of the truth through that trial. And so it's not only for the people who have been afflicted, because Paul doesn't say God's not going to have vengeance on these people. He doesn't say that. Paul quotes the Old Testament and says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So it's not that there won't be vengeance. There will be. So rest your weary soul. Your enemies will get what's coming to them. I hope that soothes your day today. It makes you feel better about things. I'm kind of making fun of you there, but I'm the same way. I wouldn't mind seeing my enemies get what's coming to them. I don't want them to be eternally tormented, and they won't be. But there will be a day of reckoning when they'll realize, oh, geez, Zender was right. You got to admit that you kind of want that, don't you? It's like, oh, gosh, those people were right all along. That kind of vindicating, right? Well, God's going to give us that as a little gift. And he's also going to use it to bring them to a knowledge of the truth. So here we go, the sixth seal. This is terrible. Terrible inflictions where God is finally coming down to judge. This is, again, a sequel to the fifth seal. The blood of the martyrs is going to be avenged, and we're seeing graphic, literal strokes of God here. And this is the first time that we're seeing the open manifestation of the day of Jehovah. This is the real deal, the sixth seal. The real deal, the sixth seal. That would be a catchy title. I wonder. The opening of the sixth seal is a little more impressive. The real deal of the sixth seal, now I think it's too cute. I'm not going to go with it. But this is when we see the open manifestation of the day of Jehovah. The game is on with the opening of the sixth seal. Now I'm going to read the passage. We're in the unveiling chapter 6. We're already halfway through chapter 6. We are moving along and we are understanding this book. We're seeing the glory of God. We're seeing that he's not to be trifled with. He's still a God of grace. Some people need a wake-up call. Verse 12, chapter 6, the unveiling. And I perceived when the lambkin opens the sixth seal, and a great cataclysm occurred. and the sun became black. Oh, that's different, isn't it? The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the whole moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fall on the earth as a fig tree is casting its shriveled figs, quaking under a great wind. And heaven recoils as a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And this is literal. And the kings of the earth and the magnates and the captains and the rich and the strong. This is me here. All those of repute of 1 Corinthians, right? The outward man, those who are of repute in this world, the chiefs of this eon. He's listing them all here. The kings of the earth, the magnates, the captains, the rich, the strong, those who are having it good now, while you are treated like a misfit, while you are treated like an idiot, while you are treated like a loser and the dregs of all things, as Paul says, the offscouring of all things, pond scum, that's you. Well, the tide is going to turn and the fortunes are going to shift and the coin is going to be flipped over and we're going to see that the last will be made first and the first will be made last. And this is the beginning of it with the sixth seal. Well, it's the open manifestation of it, where no one is going to be confused any longer that God himself is coming after you. It's not the bad weather. It's not like the scoffers of 2 Peter that say, oh, everything is gone according to the boring pattern since our fathers have been put to repose. And Peter says, oh, no. You're oblivious of this. That there was the heavens and earth of old, cohering out of water, and was destroyed by water. He references both the disruption and the flood of Noah. There have been major cataclysms that people alive today are ignorant of. Even people alive in this day, in Peter's day, were ignorant. That God is very able to shake the heavens and the earth, and to move mountains, to move islands. And he's going to do this. Again, one final time. And it begins here. And the kings of the earth and the magnates and the captains and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hide themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. This shakes me up because of how pitiful this scene is going to be. That these strong people who so recently were the captains of their own fate, they're going to be now hiding in the rocks because they're going to try to hide from God. Hide from God. When God is coming after you, you can't hide from God. But this will be the fear that is on the earth. It's never happened before. This doesn't happen today. Just a bad spell of weather. You know, earthquakes are not, and they're really not. I'll say this, earthquakes, tsunamis, floods, these are not indicative of the punishing hand of God today. Because 2 Corinthians 5 says that God is now conciliated to the world. So they are just natural occurrences today. Because good people suffer from earthquakes. Believers get killed by storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, fires. These are natural occurrences. But it will be evident when the sixth seal opens that this is the hand of God coming after humanity. And this is when men will wish that they had never shaken their fist at God and said, where are you? Where are you? You don't exist. Those will be the good old days. And these people, they hide themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they are saying to the mountains, this is pitiful. I could cry at this because I feel for these people. I'm not without emotional attachment to my fellow human beings. It's not with some kind of sick, non-responsive heart that I read these passages. I guess you would do that if you think this is all figurative. If you think this is figurative, you can read this and not be emotionally affected by it. That these are your fellow human beings who are crying out to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. They want to die because of the afflictions. Fall on us. That's pitiful. And I don't care if 15 minutes before this was the most wicked person on earth. I told you this when I talked about Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. I was getting teary then, wasn't I, when I talked about Nebuchadnezzar? Well, for all the proud arrogance. You know, you've heard me talk about Joel Osteen, right? And boy, Zender hates Osteen. Zender just talks continuously about Billy Graham and Joel Osteen and these wicked men who are perverting the straight ways of God, and they're calling evil good and good evil. And yet, if I see Joel Osteen and his family in a cave begging for the rocks to fall on them, am I not moved with pity for that man? Yeah. I don't want to see anybody killed. I don't want to see anybody, certainly don't want to see anyone eternally tormented. That's completely out of this picture. No eternal torment going on here. But these are fellow human beings, and God has an investment in them because he created them. Do you know why the world can be so flippant, nonchalant about the destruction, in the case of Christians, the eternal torment of their enemies? Because they didn't create their enemies. They have no investment in them. They didn't create them. That's why the disciples said, even the disciples said, Lord, should we call down fire on them? He just said, you don't know what spirit you're of. God has a heart for his creation. Even while he's bringing these plagues, even while these people are in the caves and they're begging for the mountains and the rocks to fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is sitting on the throne and from the indignation of the lambkin, seeing that the great day of their indignation comes, and who is able to stand? God created these people, and Jesus Christ died for them. That's why there's an investment here with God and Christ for these people. The most evil person you could think of. Give me the names. Come on. Try to find somebody that God does not have an investment in. Who are you going to give me here? Huh? Adam? Hitler? Stalin? Charles Manson? Jeffrey Dahmer? Who? Bring them. Bring the names. Who do you have? It's more evil than the people I just mentioned. I, in fact, would put Joel Osteen and Billy Graham in a worse category than those people. And yet, God died for them. Jesus Christ, died for these people. God created them. Jesus Christ dies for them. And here they're being woke up. Do you think this is their end? Sitting here underneath the rocks, in the dark, in a cave, begging for God to kill them? You think this is their end? Christianity does. Good, get, let them get what's coming to them. Not a tear will they shed for these people. They have no investment in their lives. They just as soon waste them, as if God wastes anything. We see Jesus Christ so concerned for the fragments of bread and fish. After he feeds the multitude, that he gathers up the fragments, lest anything be wasted. He's not willing to waste a fish or a crumb of bread. And so do you think he's willing to waste a human being? No, because he's the savior of human beings. 1 Timothy 4:10 calls him the savior of all human beings. And if he fails to save a single one, then he's a liar and he's not the savior of all humanity. But he is. And by the grace of God, he's given us an early expectation. He's given us faith so that we believe now. He hasn't given it to these people who are hiding in the caves at the opening of the sixth seal. He's not giving them that faith. They come by a harder route. And it just gives you another occasion to thank God that he's spared you that expectation. And he's given you a far greater one. I want you to appreciate that today. And also pray for these people who will come under the curse of the sixth seal.